Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeart Radio app. After 4 o'clock, go to the podcast on the iHeart app. John and Ken on demand. And last month, thank you. We set record numbers for the number of downloads for the podcast. And thank you for supporting it. And join the hordes. They're doing it. You know, after the show, you could download the podcast and listen to what you missed. I got sucked into watching Biden fall down again.
Yeah, I've looked. Well, I haven't looked again since the first hour of the show. But
I found another site that had the video, and I just started watching it, and it was in the loop. And he's
is it a different angle or the same one?
No, it's the same angle.
So you can't figure out whether it's a sandbag or a wire he tripped over? Maybe he didn't trip. Maybe he just fell. The thing is, he has trouble getting up, and they eventually have to lift him. He tries to get up right away, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
This is the Air Force graduation.
They have to have somebody walking with him now. Because if he has that fall while going down the Air Force One steps, that's it.
He's vigorous. He rides his bike all around Delaware. Come on.
They shouldn't let him ride his bike either.
He did fall one day on that, too. The Moist Line is tomorrow during this hour. We have room because Monday was a holiday, and that usually slows up the response. You can use the iHeart Radio app to connect to the Moist Line, the microphone icon. The toll-free number is 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. And yes, I did get an angry email chastised for doing the swan story at the end of last time. You just do this to get Deborah Mark riled up. It's disgusting. And John didn't help by looking up swan recipes.
Oh, I know. That was pathetic.
I found a swan recipe from 1845. King Ludwig of Bavaria had his own.
Is that right?
That's right.
I would imagine it tastes like duck, although it's a bigger animal.
Don't encourage people to hunt swans. Let them be
at peace. He says it's only legal in 7 states.
Well, I know.
Right.
But
And if you hunt one, you should at least have access to recipes.
So no, you shouldn't hunt one to begin with.
All right, the El Segundo Times columnist we're about to highlight is named Tess Taylor, an award-winning poet. And Johnny, what, she does poetry reviews on public radio? She lives in gardens in El Cerrito.
Tess Taylor, she has her own website.
Oh.
Her bio says, an avid gardener and is the author of 5 acclaimed collections of poetry, including Work and Days, which was named one of the 10 best books of poetry of 2016 by the New York Times. And she also has been the on-air poetry reviewer for NPR's All Things Considered for over a decade.
Well, this column she wrote for the El Segundo Times is dealing with climate grief and how working in the garden sometimes helps her deal with climate grief. Mm-hmm. She writes, there's a phrase friends of mine have started tossing around. Climate grief. Our sharp sadness that the planet we know is in terrible flux, that we're losing pieces of it in real time, in front of our eyes. Climbing over fallen redwoods, strewing the road after one of the toughest storms in March, I realize that my climate grief presents as numbness, disgust, fury, and despair. Look at that. Four emotions, John.
All at the
same time?
She's
numb, disgusted, angry, and full of despair. It makes me feel as if whatever we do now, whether cleaning our yards, building more resilient wetlands, voting in decent climate policies, will be too little, too late. I'm sure I'm not alone in this.
Oh, we should all just die, shouldn't we?
And yet, sweeping back the layers of wet muck and adding some dry straw to the compost, turning over soil, putting in seedlings, watching for weeds, I've discovered that my anger and my numbness and my grief are actually places I need to get to excavate, to dig out, to feel. I need to get into a garden, to work through the grief, to engage it.
When I garden, I lose, for a few hours at least, the sense that only a catastrophe of losses is upon us. I lose for a while the nagging feeling that there's no hope, that we don't care at all, that we're irrevocably broken. Instead, I'm setting intentions for dark, micro-rich soil. I'm discovering things that can survive. Some mint, some carrots, a bumper crop of potatoes, and things that volunteer, a cucumber plant at the edge of the compost.
I'm going to go grow some mint. You know, most people just escape with like a bad movie where people get killed. That's how they escape. She goes into the garden.
And grows mint.
And she sits there with the microbe-rich soil. The garden cures me of my numbness in other ways, too, because our garden is in our front yard. I'm out sharing plants with my neighbors. Now, I don't have enough sun for everything I want to grow, so Ari keeps my potted blueberry bushes in her yard. Oh, isn't that nice? And we share the fruit. Stephen, who was born outside Kharkiv, has an annual tradition of bringing by special Ukrainian tomato starts. Wow. Mm. A variety that flourishes here despite the Bay Area's summer fog.
They explode on contact, too. Ukrainian grenades.
I trade seeds and starts for straw from my chicken coop, which other gardeners like for its nutrients. Dela, who lives two doors down, wanders by to share insights about cultivating, what is that, shiitakes on loam on a shady side yard? It's mushrooms?
I had a different pronunciation.
Or maybe mushrooms, yeah.
I think they're mushrooms.
Shiitake, yeah.
She expounds on the amazing fact of mycelial networks, the great web they build in the soil. Getting lost now in all this gardening talk?
Above ground.
Mycelial networks.
Yes. Above ground, suddenly, I feel less angry or afraid or despairing or alone. In a record year, after record years, I stop and look at a pea blossom. Faint green veins weaving its pale green face. I weed daikon with my daughter.
It's daikon.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I've eaten that.
What is that?
I think it's a Japanese vegetable.
A vegetable?
Yeah, some kind of vegetable, yeah.
Okay.
Well, this is a gardener. What do you think it is? Oh, look at the next sentence, Deborah Mark.
I weed daikon with my daughter and cut fava leaves to make into a pesto with my son.
I don't see the problem here, guys.
Look at the next sentence. This is me. I'm excited. We make a salad out of turnip sprouts.
Oh, that's great.
We water our plants with a bucket that captures the now guiltless flow from our backyard sink.
We can't save what we don't love. When I'm in the garden, I realize that my grief is actually another name for this love. It's a call to get out and tend this planet we often feel like we're losing before our very eyes. When I do, I remember that my actions matter and that life is stronger and more surprising than I knew. And both of these things help ground me for the road ahead. The road ahead. Again, these are problems of, obviously, first world people who really...
I don't think she's fun to be around.
I disagree.
If she's grieving over the climate all day.
I mean, she's in there crying over the cucumbers.
Yes. But I want to come visit her garden. I want to be a neighbor.
The garden reminds us that despite what's been destroyed, what is at risk, we can build, amend, repair. In doing so, we find the light in what's still here and what we can still share together now. Well, thank you, Tess.
Tess and her socialist garden.
Yeah, you can give some fava sprouts to Deborah Mark.
Please. Remember one time I got a bunch of avocados? Hey, I'll take some fava beans.
And
sprouts.
Ken can suck on the daikons.
What? Don't believe that's how they're prepared. John, what do we have for you? You want some of the mint?
There was nothing here for me.
I love the smell of mint.
I do love the smell of mint, yes.
She had a bumper crop of potatoes. I could turn those into French fries, I guess.
That's true. She did have some
potatoes. That's about it, though, for me. For you.
All right, well, that was Tess Taylor writing for the El Segundo Times about how to deal with climate grief.
Climate grief.
By hanging out in her garden and reconnecting, John, with the earth. That's what you do. Well, you said you did garden. Maybe you get back to that. You feel this way.
I need to, yes.
I feel much more relaxed after hearing you guys read that.
I think it was the piano.
Could you imagine John with the little gardener's knee pads down there weeding? And
with the gloves.
Yeah, I know. The little gardener gloves. And the big sun hat.
I was going to say the sun hat. That would be a great picture to post.
He says he did have a garden.
I did. I planted a lot of flowers. Colorful flowers.
Did anything survive?
Well, for the season, it did.
Oh, and did you eat any of it?
I'm trying to think. Like because we grew other things. Peppers, I think. I don't remember. It was a long time ago I did it.
You ate peppers?
At the first house we had. No, I don't eat any vegetables. I'll
grow
them.
Well, Ken just asked you if you ate anything, and you said, yeah.
The family did.
My wife does, okay. Yeah.
I was wondering about you.
No, the answer is blanket no.
Okay.
Okay?
But it was nice of them to make something for someone
else.
Very
nice, yes.
Any vegetable, any year, the answer is no. So you don't have to worry.
Okay. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere. iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're live on the radio from 1 till 4 after 4 o'clock. John and Ken on demand. The podcast will be posted on the iHeart app so you could pick up what you missed.
And grab that app and leave a message for the Moist Line, which will play tomorrow at this time, part one. You can use the microphone icon to connect to the Moist Line, the John and Ken show. Or call the toll-free number. Leave your message there, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. In case you haven't noticed, and that last break may have reinforced the fact that today, John, is iHeartRadio Access Day. Did you pick that up?
I heard that.
Some of the spots that ran there?
Yeah.
Access like never before with over 700 deals and experiences. It is today only. Where do you go? iHeartRadioAccessDay.com. It's a lot of letters to type, but it's all one word. iHeartRadioAccessDay.com. If you like sports, there's a lot of sports packages up there for you to look at. Clippers, Dodgers, and Kings among them. And also, Game Time is giving you $20 off tickets to the hottest shows and games of the summer. So the place to go, and only for today, and I guess is it midnight our time or midnight East? iHeartRadioAccessDay.com. COVID news. COVID news. Come on. Well, only because this is ironically funny. There was a recent Centers for Disease Control epidemiology conference, and there was a super spreader event. People got COVID. Oh, well.
13.
And they're supposed to know better, the epidemiologist people.
They weren't following the proper protocol.
Atlanta Hotel in late April, 1,800 people. They did a post-event survey. 1,400 responded. 13% said they got COVID.
13%?
13%. That's
what
significant.
Were they doing?
There was one real big super spread. I think Fauci went.
Was there an epidemiologist orgy afterwards? They were all in...
Oh, and sadly, half of them said they had been unaware of any prior infections with COVID. So they may have gotten it for the first time from that conference. Look at that. They waited 3 years. Yeah. The epidemiologists who you and I, we picked on them a lot because they are the safest of the safest there.
Well, they all have mental disorders. Really, they do. They all got spooked by germs when they were little kids. So they spend the rest of the day screaming at everybody.
Oh, look at this. 3/4 of the survey respondents said, though, they did not wear a face covering during the conference. I take that back. I guess they're not overly cautious.
Oh, my God. I six masks in my grocery store yesterday. Just counting people hovering around the registers. Six.
Were they workers or customers?
Three workers.
I'm still noticing customers. Workers. Yeah, noticing quite a few workers.
Most of the workers were not.
Because they're there all day, and they feel like maybe with everybody like you in their face.
Six masks.
No.
It's the 1st of June, 2023.
Now, here's another study dealing with COVID-19 that is kind of fascinating. Apparently, the lockdowns have had the same effect on our memory as serving jail time, according to the
study. Pretty close.
It's right. Scottish researchers. Wow, Scottish researchers. Apparently, the lockdowns caused a lot of us to lose track of time, which to me makes intuitive sense because I didn't do a lot during the lockdown. And when you travel or go places, that's when you have the memories that get stored in your head. If your every day is to get up, you know, and do your routine and then prepare for the show and talk to John for 3 or 4 hours, that's not going to stick in your head as a memory. That's what I did Monday through Friday that first year. No, I mean, I'd exercise, but I didn't take any trips. I didn't really. I had some Zoom calls with family members and stuff.
Oh, those really sucked, didn't they? Zoom conversations. I tried.
It's better
a few
than nothing, I guess. Is it better than the telephone? Unless you get to see.
No, on the telephone, the conversations go smoother.
With Zoom, with me, it's like 8 different boxes, so there's a lot of people talking.
Yeah, no, I had a few of those, and it's just. There's a delay, it seems.
Right.
So if you talk on top of each other, I don't know, the screen will freeze up.
The study analyzed responses to a 2022 survey in which 277 participants were asked to match events to the years which they took place, ranging from 2016 to 2022. People were questioned about major news events, such as Prince Harry and Meghan, their bombshell interview with Oprah, or the death of George Floyd. And distance memories garnered more errors, but researchers found people's abilities to recall 2021 events were lacking. Some respondents even matched the events to things that happened 3 or 4 years prior. I knew George Floyd died in 2020.
Yeah.
As that was the summer of two things, at least as far as the show's concerned. The defund the police, and then we had a lot of wildfires in California. Remember that? Those are two things I remember from 2020 summer.
Yeah, and the presidential campaign was going on.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I tried to forget that.
But it's almost as if that year, that time didn't exist.
Yeah, they call them anchoring life events. They're critical for accurate recollection of timelines, and people didn't have those with the lockdowns. They didn't have any of these seminal events that really get locked into your long term memory.
No, it's like being in jail.
It's like
you know.
Because I'm one of these people that, and you probably are similar, when you hear like a song from the 70s or 80s, you kind of go back to that time and what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I do that a lot. That's why I like to listen to Casey's Countdowns, because they're from a certain date and time, and all the songs are there together, and you kind of remember your whole series of events that happened to you during that part of your life.
You could lose yourself in a better time.
And to you, anything's a better time. Well, now think about this. 2020, this is a better time than 2020.
Definitely. I'm much happier. I was bored. I was bored and irritated because I thought everybody was...
But that's good for the show because then you're angry.
Yeah. Well, yes, but
You took it out on Barbara Ferrer for a year and a half.
I was exhausted every day. I had nothing to look forward to. And everybody's yammering and lecturing, and that's when we had the latest woke explosion. That's another thing.
Yeah, that was huge... the defund the police, right? Well, that led to that.
Sure.
Right. That was a woke explosion.
And that the woke shrapnel is still firing at me.
It's still banging around your brain?
It is. It's still in the air. And everybody's screaming about Trump, and everybody's screaming about COVID, and everybody lecturing. And I remember people, you walk down the street, because I wouldn't wear a mask outdoors, right? And everybody on my side of town was. And I remember these gnarly troll people. They'd see me without a mask, and they would scurry across the street to walk on the other side. Because, you know, I was the specter of death coming at them. It's like, oh, my God.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
After 4 o'clock, go to the app to hear the John and Ken podcast on demand, John and Ken on demand, and pick up what you missed.
Yeah, I was looking for it yesterday at 4:01. It wasn't up there yet. I was disappointed.
Oh, Eric, a little slow.
It takes about 15 minutes to populate.
To populate. Very good tech term.
I don't want to know what you're doing there, but fine. We're populating. Please stand by.
In case you haven't heard, listening to KFI today, it is iHeartRadio Access Day, John Cobalt.
No kidding. What's that about?
Well, just for these 24 hours of today, June 1st, you can go to iHeartRadioAccessDay.com and take advantage of some deals and experiences. All right? Are you one of the experiences in this?
No, I am not an experience.
A vegan dinner with John and Deborah?
That probably would be entertaining.
That would.
One thing you can look for is a 1-year VIP access pass to all the live shows at the iHeartRadio Theater. It's right nearby us. They're back. Past performers include Charlie Puth, Selena Gomez, Ed Sheeran, many more. You can also get access to Chef Tyler Florence preparing a meal for you. Check that out. Or you can attend a live broadcast of The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Again, this is only available and only today at iHeartRadioAccessDay.com. Well, it's a topic that nobody else really covers anymore, but we're gonna, and that's the border, right? Nobody seems to care, right? Title 42 came and went, and the media decided, all right, nothing to see here anymore. Well, there is something to see. The Biden administration apparently is going to admit 40,000 migrants every month with that app. That's the asylum app. I think it's actually called that, the asylum app. Well, it's actually called CBP-1. And that's their plan. And you know what? If they're giving out that number, or it says here, Department of Homeland Security officials told CBS News that it'll be about 40,000 migrants a month.
Right.
You do the math on that. It's close to 500,000 a year.
Yeah, it's a big scam, a big lie.
And that's the appointment people.
It's supposed to be an asylum app, except virtually all the people who register through the app are lying about the reasons for asylum. But they don't have to go to a hearing for 4 or 5 years. And if you don't show up, nobody comes looking for you. So it's a free pass.
Right.
It's 500,000 illegal aliens magically legalized.
That's exactly what the plan was here by the Biden administration, was to disguise the numbers. It's almost like what we talked about earlier in the show. We suspected that they weren't really doing much about some arsonist up in the Sunland-Tahunga area because, again, they don't want that to appear in the crime statistics so we can blare the crime is down. People don't report it, or if they do report it, we reclassify it as something else. Same thing with the migrants. Oh, they're no longer going to be considered entering the country. They're entering the country legally, so they wouldn't come under the category of illegal immigrants. Previously, they processed just over 20,000 each month under the system, which was unveiled in January. Described here as an orderly process to discourage migrants from entering the U.S. illegally by crossing between ports of entry, which is still happening, by the way.
If they're coming over anyway, what does it matter if they have them come over in an orderly manner with this stupid app?
Yeah.
They were going to, so why not just let them run in, because they're not going to show up for the court hearing anyway, and they're lying about the asylum reasons. So what's with all the theater? I mean, they've processed 120,000 just since January.
Yep. U.S. officials generally release them with an immigration court hearing in their respective destinations. And of course, they don't have to show. It could be years away anyway. This is just to make them disappear into society.
Here it is. Here's the explanation. The Biden administration is gambling that expanding opportunities for migrants to enter legally and increased penalties for those who cross the border illegally will reduce the unlawful crossings. In other words, don't try to cross illegally. Just go on the app.
Right.
It's like magic dust. You instantly become legal, which is not the way the system is supposed to work.
So if I understand this correctly, if you are in Mexico and you call up the app, fill it out, you're going to be able to go through a port of entry and just show that, and they're going to let you in. There's nobody who stops you right away and says, all right, wait a minute, what is your asylum claim? You're poor? It doesn't work. Sorry.
No,
there's gang violence in your country.
Well, you just make
But I think they're waved through. I don't think there's any discernment made.
Because it's not provable until you go to the fake court hearing in 5 years, which you're not going to go to.
Right.
And nobody's going to come get you. It's the old BS. It's horse manure.
Oh, look at this. Yes, it allows you to seek asylum under the normal procedure, but your case may not be adjudicated for years due to the 2 million and growing backlog of pending cases before the U.S. Immigration Court.
Imagine standing in a 2 million person line.
And there's only 3 judges or something.
Right, yeah.
I don't know how many courts there are.
That's right. You're number 2 million.
So this is the trick they pulled
in order to make sure
it doesn't look that crazy at the border.
It's
they're going to tell us, well, now they're legally entering the country. Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, they may be legally entering the country, but they may not be actual asylum. They may not actually qualify
because
for asylum.
Because it's a dishonest administration run by a dishonest old fool who can't even stand up straight anymore, protected by a dishonest media, which is really just as public relations and propaganda for the administration. And
they got sued over this. A bunch of the states, including Texas, has already sued over this CBP. Yeah. CBP One app system.
And the lawsuit will probably take 5 years.
Well.
Which is the whole point. Even if it's declared unconstitutional or illegal or whatever, what does it matter? You got $40,000 a month coming through.
Meanwhile, in Chicago, it was an ugly city council meeting. The city council in Chicago voted 34-13 to spend $51 million to house the migrants who were sent there from Texas. Apparently, a number of black residents slammed the city council for giving more money to illegal immigrants than addressing our needs.
Here's the reparations for you.
Yeah. Some of them chanted Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. The reparations just went to Central and South Americans.
We need to take care of our community. We need to take care of our black community. Several people yelled at the city council.
They should be pissed. They really should be pissed. Did you see Memorial Day weekend?
Yeah, some violence. I saw
53 people got shot. 53 on a 3-day holiday weekend. Mostly in black neighborhoods. Mostly blacks got shot.
Oh, you're right. They were asking the city of Chicago to pass the reparations ordinance. Mm-mm. Right. And not give money to the border crossers.
See, all that reparations talk is fake. All the black citizens are getting played and manipulated and lied to.
One speaker said, that's pretty good. We didn't have the luxury opportunity to cross the border. We didn't have the privilege to cross the border. We came over here being raped, stolen, beaten, chained to the bottom of ships. Yeah. And you give migrants $51 million? Have you forgot who you are? Wow.
There are no bigger racists than progressive Democrats. They're the biggest racists of them all because they make all these promises to black citizens and they never follow through. They just con that group for votes, tell them what they want to hear, and then screw them over. I don't know when everybody's going to learn that those progressive Democrats are not your friends.
Oh, and apparently in New York City, they're now putting some of the migrants in a closed Harlem jail. Well, that's going to get the response of some activists.
That's a repurposing there, huh?
That's a repurposing there. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on until 4 live on the radio after 4 o'clock, about 4:15, we're told by Eric. The podcast gets posted, John and Ken on demand, so you can...
All right, people are waiting anxiously. You say 4 o'clock, 4:15.
All right, well, we'll see.
What Obviously, it's not 4:30. Affecting the downloads. What?
What happens if it's 4:30?
Why would that happen?
No, it's not going to happen.
Well...
start populating.
All right, it's iHeartRadio Access Day. Today, all day, John, until midnight.
Tell me more.
iHeartRadioAccessDay.com can tell you everything that you want to know. You get Dodgers, Kings, and Clippers experiences, 50% off tickets and passes at 5 SeaWorld and Busch Gardens parks nationwide. And you can also pick up sports packages, the Clippers, Dodgers, and Kings. There are deals available there. So check it out, the website again, only till midnight, iHeartRadioAccessDay.com. Well, we don't spend a lot of time on the dopey debt ceiling debate in Washington, D.C., because it's usually just political nonsense. Although what was really happening was more about a spending thing. Republicans, and some of them still held out, although last night in the House, the Fiscal Responsibility Act of 2023, that's the name of it. It did pass the House of Representatives, and it goes over to the Senate.
Do you know what the deficit is going to be, what the debt is going to be after 10 years? Like the rules they passed this week, they're supposed to govern the next 10 years. At the end of the 10 years, the debt is going to be $46 trillion, at least. $46
trillion. Isn't there a point where the numbers don't mean anything anymore?
No, they don't.
I don't know what to compare $46 trillion to, although obviously it's an enormous number.
All right. But they're all patting themselves on the back because I think they shaved maybe a trillion and a half off the total 10 years down the road. It's like, wow, good work, guys.
1992, Ross Perot ran for president on this issue. Mm. And here we are 30 years later. Has it really amounted to anything, or we just keep going with the bigger and bigger?
You know, I looked this up because somebody asked me, it's like, so how bad are we compared to other countries? And yeah, we're pretty bad. A lot of other countries, countries that are good, have a relatively small debt compared to the size of their economy, Germany, Poland. Yeah. Poland was exceptionally good, which makes sense because my parents never had a credit card for most of their lives. They simply never spent a dollar they didn't have outside the home mortgage and the car loans.
No.
But there was just no credit card stuff. So it's something in the culture, right? The Germans, that makes sense. You know what country is really bad? You could guess. Italy, Greece, Spain, Mediterranean countries.
Greece almost came to pieces a few years ago.
Oh, their debt is a rumble. You look at that. Oh, my God.
Well, you know. They're passionate people. They want to take care of everything and have the government spend on everything.
Everything's
a party. Obviously, governments are a bigger part of the... Although, I bet you those Nordic countries don't do too badly, though, and they have a lot of taxes and spend a lot of government money in Norway.
Well, yeah, if you have the tax base. See, that's the thing we haven't reckoned with yet, and maybe it's not going to happen in our lifetimes. But the Medicare and the Social Security, which everybody wants and all the politicians support, but it is so costly that some adjustment has to be made.
Well, the one thing that was in this bill, which is worth talking about, because it's like an oldie but a goodie, making people work for welfare is back. Specifically, the food stamp program, which is referred to as SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And what do they call it in California? CalFresh?
Yes.
It would actually impose new work requirements on people, although scroll down in the story, not the homeless.
Oh, no?
No, not the homeless. No. And also, states can waive some of the work requirements.
Oh, so...
So if they determine there's not enough jobs in this particular area of our state, we can waive the work requirements to get the food stamps.
We've got 10 million job openings right now in the country. Right. So I say nobody should be getting a single food stamp. Nothing. You should be able to fill one of those 10 million jobs. There's got to be something for you.
And they're debit cards now, so you're not embarrassed by actually pulling out a food stamp and putting it on the counter. Current rules require that adults up to age 49 work or participate in a training program for at least 80 hours a month. There are some exceptions to that. But the work requirements would apply to a new group. Adults without dependents between 50 and 52. Whoa, they went for three 52. Years of age. 50 and 52 starting in October, and adults as old as 54 beginning next fall. So that shows you, I mean, you read this story. There's so much compromise and negotiation in this. It's like, well, all right, I'll bring it down to 50 to 52-year-olds, but I want it to go to 54 a year later.
And they're only asking for 20 hours a week.
Yeah, that's it.
20 hours, a four-hour work day. That's all they're asking for. Yeah, but I'm not on food stamps.
Now we only have 15.
maybe I should get food stamps.
Oh, and the story in the Washington Post is full of sob stories. And it talks about how older adults often work part-time jobs, but they may not add up to 80 a month. What are you going to do?
So get another job.
Get another. For the first time, Americans who are homeless would not need to meet work requirements to qualify for SNAP. I wonder how many homeless people basically in the streets of L.A. do get food stamps, or do they bother, or training for drugs?
If you don't have it, yeah, that's what goes on. That is what goes on. Because then you get cash. You could sell your debit card, right, to somebody and get cash and then buy drugs with the cash. Because what were they doing? I read in West Virginia, I read a book about this, that people were using their debit card and they were buying soda with it and then selling the soda to a convenience store.
Oh, I thought they might be those guys on the street corners with the coolers.
Hey, okay, here's what
water.
If they got let's say they got $100 on the debit card, right? The food stamp card. Then they sell the $100 for $60 worth of soda. Okay? And then they sell the soda to a convenience store.
Oh.
Yeah, right? That's right.
At a markup, right?
Right. And now they have cash to buy the drugs.
Oh, that's if they can work that out, it's kind of ingenious. Why can't they just function like the rest of us with a real job and a real home? No. Have to come up with all of these little quick deals and scams to pull.
Yeah, I know. How hard is it to go to work for 4 hours a day? Really, at some nonsense job.
This story in the Washington Post says, though eligibility has been expanded, we actually may end up with more spending on food stamps because they're allowing more people into the program.
You know what? When I see these stories, I just assume that all the provisions are not going to work. And that whatever it says there, that's probably not the truth. It's written such a complicated way that the writer doesn't understand it, or the writer.
Oh, because these bills are like 10,000 pages, right?
You know, and everybody just wants to cover for Biden and his administration anyway. So there's no truth out there.
Yeah, no truth out there.
All I know is there's going to be $46 trillion of debt by the end of the decade. That's what I know. Details don't matter.
You keep an eye on that number.
All right. Conway.
Hey now.
How are you?
Hey, it's my first access day. So I'm sort of just trying to get used to it. I've never had an access day before.
Have you ever been accessed?
No, not at all.
Yeah, me neither.
But it's kind of cool what we're doing. No commercials today.
Well, limited commercials.
Yeah, they're all for iHeartRadio access, but
if
they do
you play. Don't have any commercials, then I'd go check with somebody.
No, I mean like no live reads.
Right.
And
none of that.
No, it's a different day. No.
Of course, I didn't notice that until 15 minutes ago.
Oh, is that right?
That's right. I didn't know.
Well, look, let me tell you a quick story about John Colbeld here. I came in about 2 years ago, and I said to John, I go, hey, where is Ray, his producer, Ray? And John goes, oh, he's in the other room. So I go in the other room. I go, hey, Eric, where is Ray? He goes, oh, he's been out sick for 2 days.
Yeah, that happens.
That's true.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
The executive producer of the show has been out for 2 days, and John's like, no, I think he's in the other room.
I see him even when he's not here.
That's great, man. That really is cool. We got Joe Biden has taken another tumble, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, he went down like
dropped like a sack of potatoes.
And if you notice it, if you look at it
right there
closely, he couldn't get up. No. I mean, you know, like,
no, he tried, right? And he flopped back down.
Yeah, like old guy. Who is the guy that always got the guy? Hit the big black guy used to play for the A's who always got hit by a baseball, Don somebody. And remember when he got hit the last time, his leg buckled and he couldn't get up himself. It looked like that.
Don Baylor?
Don Baylor. Yes, Don Baylor. Remember when he got hit the last time and he folded and he couldn't get up? It looked like Don Baylor.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Right. Don Baylor, I think, was hit by more pitches than anybody in baseball.
Don't you think they have to have a minder now?
Well,
guide him.
Places. Yes. Look, I'll pay for it because if anything happens to him, it's President Harris.
Oh, God. You know? That's right.
So they should put bubble wrap around this guy.
President Harris.
That's right.
Don't say that out loud.
All right.
All right.
And then
President Harris.
And then Spirit Airlines, an outage resolved after causing major flight delay. Just
right.
One.
Spirit is one of the top 10 most hated companies.
Is that right?
The US. Yeah, they have a list out today.
You know, I took them from Burbank to Chicago, and it was only $49. I'm like, oh, that's a good deal. I didn't realize you taxi from Burbank to Phoenix, and then you fly to Chicago.
Good one. Dig dog.
I didn't know that. I was unaware of that.
Hill and bump.
Conway. Crozier with the news.
Yeah.
Come on.
Live in the 24-hour
Access Day.
Access Day.
Dig dog.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network. Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.